Hello, welcome to another episode of Solar Sales Uncensored. I am your host, Aaron Browning, and I'm so excited for today's conversation with the one and only president of Power, Mr. Bobby Smith. Before I turn it over to him, and I already know that's why everyone's here. I get it. That's why I'm here. We've been talking about this one for a couple months. As you can imagine, his schedule is jam-packed. A little bit about his background for those of you that don't know him, and shame on you if you don't, because he's all over the freaking place. He really got his start in the whole entrepreneurship game from direct sales. He led a massive worldwide organization with over 50,000 partners in multiple countries, which gets me so doggone excited. He also led Cancer Foundation. We'll definitely talk on that and how he uses his experience from problem solving there to what we do in the construction field, which is really cool. But more recently, he has become the president of Power, which obviously for everyone watching or listening knows it's the fastest growing solar company in the United States, if not the world. He is the thought leader behind that. He is driving our ship. He is an amazing husband. He is an amazing father. And I dare to call him a friend now. We had the privilege of really working on our relationship in the physical form last week at our convention. We were able to break bread finally and hang out and take it from online to offline, which personally and selfishly was absolutely amazing. So without further ado, Mr. Bobby Smith, how the heck are you, my friend?
Thank you for having me.
It's all well-deserved, man. It really is. I've been around a lot of leaders over my 10-year of business and entrepreneurship, and you definitely stand out, man. You really do. You lead from the front. You are the, although you don't get recognition for this one, you're the fastest growing team builder for a team that you can't even have at Power, which we'll definitely talk about. But if you don't mind, you want to shed a little bit more on your background, really how you got started in direct sales and what that transitioned into to where you are today with Power?
I can't thank you enough for the conscience, making Power a better company and leading by example every day. You're a real difference maker in our company, in a lot of people's lives, and we value that. So thank you. And thank you for having me. It's good to see everybody. I've bumped into direct sales through the birth of my daughter. It's that simple. There was a woman that I had been doing business with in the medical field. She was pregnant when my wife was pregnant. Our business was done. I had no reason to talk to her again, really. And I'm 10 feet from that spot right now. We had just given birth to a little baby girl, and I thought I ought to call Joe and see how the birth of her baby went. And I called her up, and she said, great, and practice is good, but I'm doing this thing, and I think you should hear about it. And she mentioned an old friend of mine who I grew up playing high school ball with here in Maryland. And she arranged a meeting with him and I, and that was the beginning of it. It was through the birth of my daughter.
Wow. So you were one of the leaders in that company, though. You were, when I talk about the GOAT, you're doing live events, you're doing like the good old stuff that direct sales was famous for, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I came in at a time when their national convention was 100 people. They had to drag me to that. And they ended up being the second most, when I was there, most profitable privately held company on the Inc. 500 list. I watched that growth. And yes, I had a great mentor. I hope all of you have had the privilege. I've had a few in my life. And I had the privilege of learning direct sales from one of the best trainers in the world. And the words that he whispered in my ear were different than the words that many people hear or are open to listen to. But you're right. It was old school. I opened meetings in Maryland. Found leadership. He taught me the leadership and real estate. That's the only thing he ever talked to me about. How many cities can you own? How many countries can you build? How many leaders can you build in those, defined and develop in those markets so you can go do it somewhere else? And that's what he did. So it was very event driven. They were one of the best event companies in the history of direct sales. So I learned it in living rooms. We can talk about that, Aaron, wherever you want to go. That's where I honed my craft, launching people's business. Night after night, living room after living room, hotel after hotel, local meetings, regional events, national conventions, leadership and real estate development.
Yeah, by the way, we could do a whole podcast on what everything you just said right there. Like that is truly, in my opinion, your claim to fame, what sets you apart. My fear, though, it's also over a lot of new business owners and new entrepreneurs' heads. Like they just don't get it. When you talk about, and I get goosebumps, by the way, and I love that, about launching someone's business. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us here, heck, you're with any company and you're looking to grow a business, stop saying grow, stop saying start. It's all about freaking launching. Like, it is launching. And that is a message, a mantra that Bobby sings from every stage, from every presentation. And so few are actually doing it, which just blows my freaking mind, man. It like really does. The other thing I've heard you say a lot, and I've never heard someone else say this, and I've now stolen it, my friend, is when we launch someone, who's your board of directors? You want to touch on that and what that means and what that conversation you shared with me that day looked like?
Well, again, I believe that when someone starts a business, if they take it seriously, they're going to treat it like a part-time gig, or hopefully they joined it to make a real difference in their lives and in other people's lives. And if they do that, then it's very simple to me. If somebody opens a laundromat or a law firm or a restaurant, they have a launch party. They have a wine and cheese event. They have those spotlights outside of their facility. And for some reason, when people take on a part-time gig, which is normally the way they start direct sales, they want to take their time. Yep. They want to figure it out. They want to learn. They want to feel comfortable. And my guy taught me differently. He said, Bobby, find the best five people, the most talented, busiest, successful people you can find. And I put the five, it happened to be five guys at my kitchen table, 15 feet from here. And he did the presentation. They all enrolled. And these guys were all making $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 a year, 15, 20 years ago. But I learned you can catch people on a downswing. One of them was a chief operating officer, I think of a chief financial officer of a major insurance firm. So they had different backgrounds, different varied backgrounds, but they all signed up. And I had my board of directors. And I believe when you're starting a business and you start a company, you treat it like a business, you launch it, you find your board of directors, your leadership, and you go. And again, if you do it, you can't ask anyone to do anything you're not prepared to do yourself, right? So I couldn't ask anyone to ever launch their business if I didn't launch mine. So I launched mine, then it was fair for me to ask everyone to launch theirs. And it's funny, I became, not unlike you, Aaron, in our company, I came and became the king of the private business reception, if you will, in that company. And I trained it all over the world. And again, it was just it, and the world shifted a little bit, COVID and all that kind of stuff. And we can talk about all that. But sitting in people's living room and breaking bread and looking them in the eye and meeting their children. And I just used to learn how to cross my legs and sit down on the sofa and tell a story that was compelling and trustworthy and made sense. And I think we had variations with handouts and not handouts. And, you know, we'd walk through the compensation plan and we'd enroll. I remember one guy, and again, it could be anybody. I did one for the former guy who ran for mayor and governor in Pennsylvania. And I think he had 75 people in his house. And when I was finished talking, like 50 people lined up at the grand piano, because when someone like that says to a group of people, this is my next business venture, right? This guy built the Core States arena. When he said, this is my next business venture, who wants in? They lined up.
Yeah, a couple of things you said too, and I'll dissect one of them, which is really important. Something I also teach and I'll echo with you. Success leaves clues. When you invite people who are already successful, already killing it, talent hangs out with talent. Smart people with the right opportunities there, they freaking get it. There's not even a ton of questions they end up asking. They can evaluate opportunities very quickly. They can see where the vision and where the timing is, how the leadership is, and then they're all freaking in. And so I love that because I can't stress it enough. Get uncomfortable. Who is that one person that you're scared is on your chicken list to call? Those are the people you call first. Those are the board of directors. Who do you want to have over for Sunday dinner? I want to build a business with freaking leaders, man. I don't want to be begging people to come partner with me. And I love that you said it, man. I love that you hit the nail on the head with that.
Down. I'll never forget the top guy in my organization for 8, 9, 10 years. And I always used to tell the story, so I remember most of it. He was a full-time practicing periodontist. And he was already making $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 a year. He was a volunteer fireman in the truck 3 nights a week. He lectured at the local college. He was an avid ham radio operator. He was the mayor of his local township, devoted husband, and three girls. And he was the busiest guy I knew. So people tend to prejudge people. They're too busy. They're too successful. They're too this. They're too that. And that's just mental clogging.
Nailed it again, man. And by the way, we have a mutual friend, a business partner of mine, Mr. Patrick Adu. I'll go ahead and say his name. Our paper, way too busy to even look at something called power. Yet he is dominating every leaderboard, pulled in 1,000 different directions. That's what talent does, my friends. We are juggling many things. We're not even happy. We're not fed unless we have our hands on things. Would you agree?
I use the analogy all the time. I mean, Mark Cuban makes time to be on Shark Tank. He doesn't need it. He understands the value of diversifying his portfolio, and in more recent times, diversifying his portfolio with more meaningful projects that impact the world.
Yeah, love it. Let's jump into power a little bit. How did that conversation come? Were you looking for an opportunity in solar and it just presented itself? What does that journey look like?
I remember exactly. I was doing consulting, I think, at the time. Some guy hit me up on Facebook and told me he had something. I'm always open. I'm always going to listen. Smart people are always going to listen. And he sent me something that just didn't resonate with me. It was just yucky. But I said, I'd be happy to talk to your CEO. And he put me on the phone with Jonathan Budd, and we spoke for about an hour and 45 minutes. I hadn't talked to anybody that long since I was dating. And Jonathan said, you want to get on a plane and come on out? Remember, he was deciding who was, at that time, the title was vice president of sales was going to be. So he asked me to hop on a plane, and I got on a plane to San Diego. He picked me up in his Tesla, and he took me to some really piece of shit office above a men's clothing store on the beach in California. It was busted up and dirty and the windows wouldn't open. But I got to hear from him, his vision on the company. And he asked me my vision on where I would take the company. That's really how it all started.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. And by the way, once again, for those that don't know him, Bobby's love language, love place is the beach. That is the one thing Jonathan had going for him with a crappy building, no windows, is that he was on the beach. I'm sure Bobby was able to overlook some things there. What I love about that story, I've heard you say it 1,000 times, is that it truly started almost like in a garage. Like it started with nothing. Yet you have two powerful freaking leaders who are all of a sudden locking arms. And I can only imagine the goosebumps from that conversation. Was it one of those like where you guys knew instantly that you were about to build something incredible together?
No, I don't know. That'd be an interesting question for John. I always think I'm going to build something incredible. I wouldn't do it if I didn't think it could. It was just something about the vibe. Obviously, I didn't know anything about solar. I didn't know anything about renewable energy. I didn't know anything. Really, a lot of it just came from Jonathan. I just hung up from him a couple minutes ago. It was an instant. I'm wearing his peace sign shirt from John Barbados, one of them. It was an interest. It was an instant camaraderie, an instant meeting of the minds. We come from the same page. He understood direct sales, but I knew he was different than that. He's very Elon Musk, and you recognize that. As soon as you're in Jonathan's presence, he's always going to be the smartest guy in the room, unless maybe Musk is in the room or a few people. He's got that kind of genius, but he also is that flip-flop and t-shirt and I don't give a shit mentality. I'm going to tell it the way it is. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to be transparent. And he was always that way with me. And it was just, did we know what this could become? I think we both had visions, but when you look at it now, it's hard to imagine that we went from the 3 or 4 or 5 of us to 7,000 of us.
Yeah, crazy, man. I wish I could have been a fly on that wall for sure. Do you really? That's something I haven't seen. I would absolutely love to see that, man. I really would. T-shirts. Oh, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. The way you described Jonathan, my limited time this past year of getting to know him a little bit better, I 100% agree. I really do. He's almost a unicorn. To be that much of a visionary and thought leader, but still, I'll throw a word out, relatable. Relatable. I remember the first time I met him, I went to shake his hand and he pulled me in. It was like a hug. It was heart to heart. That's just who he is. The other thing I'll say about him too, he has some weird freaking ability to recall people's names. It blows my mind. And that is my kryptonite because I can't do it. Remarkable. I saw him at a convention with people that I didn't know. And I don't know how he knows as busy as he is, but he did. He knew things about them, their kids. People were heard when they were talking to him. And that was really one of my takeaways, man.
Chip, myself, and it's gone. I'm just, again, we become great friends, just like you and I and our leaders around the country and Charles and Jim and the core group of people. So when you get to go to work with someone that you love, again, we just got off a very deep conversation. I love him to death. And we've never had an argument in 9 years, not even really a healthy debate. We were always just on the same page.
That's awesome. Where is Power now? I know you tease 7,000 partners. I know in our world, we call them sellers, but for those who aren't with us yet, and yes, I said yet, because you soon will be, that's business partners. It's people that come on, independent contractors. What else can you tell us about Power right now? Not so much the vision of where we're going, but where we are today.
I called Inc. Magazine or I emailed them. They don't have any data on how many companies in history have hit the Inc. 500 list 4 years in a row. So I have to imagine it's less than 1%. Might be a handful. So if you look at all the great companies in the history of the United States, in the history of Inc. magazine. We're one of a very few that have ever done it 4 years in a row. And so for anybody who wants to debate or hate or any of that, I'm not a debater. I come from a position of strength, and there's no debate who Power is. We have been the fastest growing solar company in the United States, if not the world, the last 4 years. There's no debate that we have the most impressive front end tech stack, the ability to start a business, get paid, do quotes and all that, that the industry's ever seen. We're in a pretty good spot.
I totally agree. Being able to experience it firsthand on the team building side of it and going through everything you just mentioned. So would you call Power a solar company? Is it a technology company? Is it a platform? Where are you with that?
Renewable energy technology. And as I quote Chris Sacca often from Shark Tank, multi-billionaire, yep, early investor in Twitter and Uber. And he has said that the revenue generated in renewable energy technology will outsurpass all of the revenue generated on the internet to date. That's a staggering number, right? So I look at it as a renewable energy tech platform.
Love it. Love it. And then obviously you were able to sell solar batteries, things like that, that any typical, I shouldn't say typical, but lack of a better phrase, a typical solar company could. Where do you see that going? Do you see us bringing other products to the platform? What does that vision look like?
Again, we talk about these things often. Again, sometimes it just sounds like a line, but I do believe that the product we'll make the most money on hasn't been invented yet. You know, there's an unending stream. You're not going to be able to drive a gasoline car in the next 10 to 20 years. So obviously we're in the electric vehicle business. We want to be in the charging business, of course, full force. We are. We want to be in the electric. I'd like to get electric vehicles on our platform as soon as possible.
Crazy.
And then who knows where it's going to go? Obviously, HVAC products, renewable. I bought a renewable energy pool pump for my pool. Now more efficient HVAC systems, insulation for the home. So many places it can go. And the reason I say that, Aaron, I don't just make that up. Remember, as I made some of my money being involved in the cellular industry, and cell phones hadn't been invented yet, no one thought they would scale, and boom, they did. And then the next money I made was on the internet, and everybody said that the internet would never scale. No one's ever going to use that thing. So my last two businesses were cell phones, and everyone laughed at me, and the internet, which everyone laughed at me, and now renewable energy, which no one's laughing because the world's being decimated by climate events.
Can you touch on that, man? You did an incredible presentation at our convention a week or week and a half ago. Can you touch on the highlights of that, of unfortunately where we're at as a world, where we're heading, and what this is looking like for our kids and future generations?
I'm not crying this time. I started a conversation with my daughter on Father's Day, no less, about we were driving out in the country. I live out in horse country, about the world. And she just said a lot of her friends are hesitant to bring children into this world because of climate events. And I didn't even know what to say. My only response I could give was, it's always been that way. We were scared of war, Russia and the United States and all that stuff. And I think that we grew up in a world that had spokes of anxiety that included war and poverty and social injustice and crime. And I think the fifth or sixth spoke on the wheel right now is unfortunately climate change. And what's interesting, when I joined Power, as hippie as it was in Southern California and all that, you couldn't really talk about climate change because it was considered a political hot topic, a debate. And here we are today. My heart, that's what drives me every day. As we're launching a program in high school, I'm trying to launch a program in high schools and college campuses and youth sports programs. A recent survey showed that 50% of 10,000 young people, 16 to 25, I think it was, are experiencing climate-related anxieties. That is staggering. 50%.
Wow.
And it used to be once a year. Now, again, my home, I showed you the pictures the other day. We've had two tornadoes rip through Maryland in the last month. I was just down at the beach in Rehoboth, and there's a 5-foot seawall now that wasn't there last year. You know, I was supposed to be in Hawaii right now, and it was on fire. Unprecedented weather events in San Diego last week. Storms that are building. Now the news, if you turn on the news right now, they're talking about storms building more rapidly. They're speeding up from 20-mile-an-hour winds to 80-mile-an-hour winds to 100-mile-an-hour, faster than they've ever seen in history. You got 100-degree buoys off the coast of the Keys in the water. You can't eat the fish in South Florida because of the red tide. So I can't imagine, I'm sure there are, that there are human beings that are still debating the fact that you want to call it whatever you can call it, but we need to make a change.
So is that part of the fire that's pushing you to get up every single day, even though you don't have to financially and everything else? Is that really one of the driving forces?
My mission right now is strictly the youth. We have to change the narrative. I can't stand the fact We can go out and ride our bikes in the old days and come home and grab a hose and drink some water and have the hose. And those days may be long past us, but I just refuse to live in a world where our children are suffering from climate anxieties. And if this is my last hurrah, it will be giving everything I have to change that narrative. I can't accept that.
I love it, man. And I don't love the reason you're having to do it. It's what I call a fierce conversation. What I do love though, and let me clean that up. It's your passion behind it. I can tell it's not just rhetoric and it oozes from your pores. And I know you're leading the charge on that, man. So keep doing it. This is Uncensored. I'm going to go and ask you, I know this is something you're launching, but you did just tease it. Can you talk about why it is so important to bring this to the schools, whether it's high schools, whether it's even college, to the community? Because I know you have a background of doing this, and hearing that story with your background and what it did to the parents, it changed everything for me.
Yeah, again, a lot of what I've ever started has started in my own household, just like you asked me about direct sales. I was driving one day with my wife and the kids were screaming in the car. And I was running a National Cancer Foundation at that point and trying to figure out how to get more people screened for colon cancer. It was the 50,000 people a year were dying. It was the second leading cancer killer in America. And I had a vision when my kids were screaming, oh, I get it. If you want to get to the parents, get to the kids. I started a program called Save Our Parents in the cancer world, and I made it up. It caught on. It got national publicity. It ended up going to Puerto Rico and Canada, and then the news picked it up. And next thing you know, I'm talking to the biggest media companies, and they gave my foundation an $8 million grant, and we were featured in Oprah at her peak and other national publications. And so I know what the ripple effect can be of one high school, one inner city school, one private school, one college campus. If you want to affect change, the Vietnam War protests on the college campuses. So those of us that are old enough to remember. So I really think we have to win the hearts and minds of the young people. They need a safe place to talk about this. And they're the ones that really have to get to their parents and push them into transition to renewable energy. We can't help what India may or may not do or what China may or may not do. But, you know, here in the United States of America, if we want to be the leaders that we claim to be so proudly, then we need to lead. And I think that happens. It worked in cancer. The kids would say to the parents, I'll stay in school. I'll get good grades. I won't do drugs. I need you to get screened for cancer. And I want to create that same kind of thing here. I'll stay in school. I'll pay attention. I won't have my cell phone at home, whatever today's resolutions are. But I need you to take an energy evaluation of our home and look about all the ways that we can do better.
I think you're a genius, man. When I was lucky enough to be on a private mastermind with him last Friday, where he teased this to, I don't know, about 100 or so of the biggest leaders in our company. And when he gave the example of the colon cancer, if my son, Noah, who's 11, came home and said something like that, in fact, he even had a contract that Bobby shared. This is what I'm promising to do if you promise to do this. I can't argue that. There is no freaking way. When he talks about subbing that in for an energy audit, like, you can't object to it. And so anyone listening who's not with us at Power, this is why we're all smiling. We get access to Bobby Smith. Not only can he lead us on that front of solar, but it's how to be innovative. It's how to do it. By the way, that was the headline of our conversation, our private mastermind. What can we do right now that has not been done in solar? It's not just copying the same stuff over and over. Yes, some of that works, but doggone it, it's boring, man. Let's innovate. And there's no one doing that better in renewable energy than you, man. Like, freaking leading the way and just killing it.
Well, Jonathan says I come up with a new idea every 6 years or so, 6 months or so. You just don't know until you take it out for a test drive. And it's funny.
100%.
I'm in the midst of trying to launch this program, and everybody's coming at me with ideas, and they want to go sideways, and we just need one school. You just need to do it in one school. Yep. Let the press pick up the story, figure the rest out, and see where it goes. And I've done that my whole career. That's the reason why we stand out in the solar industry. They're all doing the same thing. They've been doing the same thing for 25 years. And as I always point to statistics, it's not a debate. They've been selling solar in Costco and Best Buy and Home Depot, and Elon Musk lost $6 billion, and all the things they've been doing in this broken, deceptive red line model that they've built. And they got 4% in 25 years. In my opinion, it's one of the biggest colossal failures in the history of business, the solar industry, before we got there. And God bless them. They did a good job, and they did so many homes and dedicated to their craft. It's nothing negative. It's just the bottom line is, if somebody's in the solar industry today, they cannot debate the fact that they are in a black and white television, outdated, broken, and often deceptive red line.
We're going to go there because you just went there and I was going to take you there anyway. I could not have the GOAT of team building on a podcast and not talk about team building. What the heck does the future of power look like for the team builders? And I want to be clear, that's not everybody. There are people listening right now that just want to go sell glass. And I love you. I love that vision for yourself. I question it, not my vision, but I respect it. And that's something I love about our power model is that you can come over, sell glass all day, every day, be happy, make 6 figures a month, 7 figures a month if you do it well enough. Or you can come over here and do the hybrid model, which is something Bobby and I are about to talk about, where you want to team build. You want to take part of the revenue share. You want to get your unfair share for introducing people to this amazing platform. And yet you still want to go sell glass too. So you're getting that hybrid model. As you can tell, I get really excited talking about this. What are your thoughts on team building under the power umbrella, my friend?
Everybody wants to just sell software. But again, the argument against it, I've never really understood that. It's okay. I just had a thought for the first time. Look at this. Yeah, I know.
Uh-oh.
Look at this new industry that's been created of people that share on websites the clothes they're buying. Look at the influencers, right? And they get a piece, right, from Amazon or whoever. The deal. There's people, young people making $10, $20, $30, $40, $50, $100,000 a month. They're celebrities making millions of dollars, and all they're doing is showing the pocketbook they bought, the clothing that they're wearing, the car that they're driving, or whatever they're doing. They're influencers, and isn't that a form of direct sales? I mean, isn't that what they're doing? They're introducing people to a product or service, and they're overriding the purchase of that product. It's now part of our culture. Every movie star is doing it. Every housewife is doing it. Every Netflix star is doing it. They're all doing it. You know, my wife makes it a point to share great stories about restaurants we go to. Like you, she's a foodie, and she always wants to compliment them. And she just posted pictures of a restaurant we were in D.C. on Sunday night, which you'd love. My daughter sent us to a really cool place. And it's the same thing. If something great happens to you, you share it with other people. And if there's some economic remuneration to that, what's the downside? It's not coming from the customer. It's coming from the model.
Yeah, it's not coming from the business partner either. I think that's the other big one. It goes back to mindset. And I mindset's not sexy. It's just not. I wish it was, because more people would lean in and really develop it and embrace it and get better at possessing a better mindset. But I think that's what it is. It's everything you just said. We naturally refer good services and products every single day, man. We went to a breakfast, but I'm not even a big breakfast fan. My wife and kids, they wanted to go on Saturday. So I shot a couple videos, made a quick reel for it. It's gone viral for me, several thousand plays. The restaurant picked it up and shared it. Now several thousand. I didn't get anything for that. And I wasn't doing it. I just did it because I freaking enjoyed the food. The atmosphere was cool. We all do it. So my question to those of you that are doing it, when you join us and we knock this ball out of the freaking park and over deliver for you and what you're trying to do with your personal business, you're selfish. Yes, I went there. You're selfish if you don't share it with someone else. You really are. And the way our compensation, I just want to be clear on this, Bobby, I know you said it, the revenue share that comes back to us for referring this platform to someone else does not come out of the customer's end, and it does not come out of the salesperson that sold the job. It comes out of the owner's profit, the owner's revenue, excuse me, let me clean that up. It doesn't affect any of the other parties. Like, it is an ultimate win scenario. Yeah. Thoughts?
It's just one of the reasons why direct sales has always worked. People made fun of it. They thought it was a pyramid, whatever they thought. But it just cuts out all the... That's the reason, Aaron, is why I believe that we'll be the distribution, the renewable energy distribution powerhouse of this century, because they're going to keep coming out with products and they're going to have a couple pathways to go. Will they go the old school pathway of raising capital and giving up their company to raise capital? And then hiring executive talent, spending millions of dollars in corporate infrastructure and commercial real estate. And will they take that pathway that has fallen apart in this new world that we live in today? Or will they understand the brilliance and the natural evolution, particularly in the world we live in today, of online reviews? And everything that's happening is playing into the hands of this type of distribution. COVID pushed it over the edge. Companies panicked in COVID. Solar companies panicked. We spent $1 million and built a worldwide media center so we could control the narrative. We grew 1,600% in COVID. If you were a local solar company, and they're going away, we may get there today, but the day of the local solar company, the day of the regional solar company is over. They cannot exist in this economic climate.
Why do you say that? I want to be crystal clear for someone just listening.
Companies change the rates when they cut out the M1, the milestone one payments, when they change the cash flow of the industry. the local guy, the chuck on the truck, the small firm that was depending upon that cash flow just simply cannot exist. And Power's still been averaging 20, 30, 40 million in cash in the bank. So again, people want to take shots at us because we're different, because we have fun, because you can build a team. All those reasons, they just don't get it, and they never will get it. And we're not here for them to get it. I frankly don't care if they ever get it. In fact, I hope they don't get it. Let them keep pushing their agenda of traditional sales. Look, the bottom line is when someone sits down, if a solar rep, I tell these every day, if I'm recruiting a solar salesperson and I tell them, you sit down at the kitchen table with one of our power sellers, you can't win. You can't win. You can't get our pricing. You can't get our financing. You don't have a 30-year warranty. You can't win. So why would you want to work for a solar company? That's the big question. Why would you want to work for a solar company and chase shitty leads around that have been sold to 25 other companies and answer to somebody when you can own your own solar company? You're the CEO of your own solar company here. We're a platform that you can use. And now with enterprise, which we may go there, we have new solar companies joining our platform every day. They're bringing their sales forces. They're bringing their installation capabilities. They're taking advantage of our software. They're capitalizing on our purchasing power. And all the small to medium solar companies are now realizing that it's more profitable with less headaches to be a member of our enterprise program than it is to be to running on their own, because it's just mathematics. It cannot be debated. They can't buy what we buy. They can't influence the way we influence. They just can't do it. So they can fight it or they can just be a part of the party. It doesn't, again, like you said, it doesn't take away from anything that they're doing. They just get to take advantage of what we've spent 9 years building.
What I love about everything you just said, and once again, we can do a whole separate episode on that, man. It was a mic drop. Power's attracting leaders. They're attracting business owners from outside of solar too. I want to be crystal clear on that. You could, and I'm going to use myself. I know it sounds really cocky. No other solar company could have lured me from what I was doing with my other businesses, primarily in real estate, to come do this. But because you have a plug and play model where I can plug into enterprise, bring over my sales division, I just got to teach them the language of solar sales. And then we turn a light switch on and we're in profit mode. Other solar, mom and pop solar companies can't freaking do that. The other thing too, and I'll take the gloves off. It's uncensored. It is what it is. I'll never, ever work for a company I don't own. I won't. I bleed. I sweat. I cry. I miss birthdays. I miss dinners. I miss anniversaries with my family. There has to be an owner's stake in it. And when I saw that Power was offering that, I said, oh, let's do it. Let's do it. Aaron's coming out of retirement.
Yeah, I mean, stock options and pre-IPO. If you look at the pure economics, I mean, about a year ago, I think there was $650 million invested in a circle around our company in a week. In a week.
Wow.
I mean, when Wall Street rightens itself, when the feds lower the rates, when the timing is right, we're going to make a lot of sense to Wall Street. And anybody who's a shareholder in our company has a chance to take that ride with us. There's no hotter topic or investable pathway than renewable energy.
For those that are watching the video portion of this podcast, when he was saying that, both Bobby and I were smiling from ear to ear. Like we couldn't even contain it. I tell people every day, because I was one of the early agents over at eXp, Bobby, as part of the reason why it took a 2-minute conversation with you. And I said, let's freaking do it. I tell recruits every day, I know how this movie ends. I've already seen the ending. And that, yes, I'm smiling. I just think this plays 1,000 times bigger than eXp. Sorry, eXp. I'll never leave you guys. I love you. But it's harder. In order for me to team build there, I got to get Bobby licensed. If Bobby's licensed, I got to convince him to fall out of love with his broker. Over here, dude, Bobby, I've had conversations. I've had business partners with my Amazon driver, my mail lady, my lawn person, my painter. Anyone, as long as they're smiling, they're builders, they get it, can be a candidate for what we do. And that's what gets me freaking excited. It's why I haven't slept well in the past year since joining you on this mission, my friend.
Apologies for lack of sleep. But yeah, we're proving both ends of the spectrum. We have solar professionals who are now leaning on multiple seven-figure incomes. That's a couple $1 million a year plus stock, right? And then we have people who've never sold solar or anything in their life, making $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month. And it ain't easy, and there's no magic, and nobody's getting rich tomorrow. And yes, we're in the construction business, and yes, things happen and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, again, I'm not one that debates. We are who we are. The industry is what it is. If somebody's looking for a career and change, and if they can't see that renewable energy is the future, then they need glasses. And if they don't understand that a platform economy is the only answer, that's all I close every meeting with, that All you got to do is be able to tie those two things together.
Run with that, man. Paint the picture.
Growing industry in the history of the world. It's never happened before. It'll never happen again. And everyone knows that a platform economy has changed every aspect of our life. Communications, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, travel, Airbnb, Uber, Lyft, finance, crypto, retail, Amazon, EXP, real estate. We can go down the list. So if I would just say to people, if every meaningful asset part of your life, I don't know whether religion will go to a platform or not. Don't want to go down that road today. But if most of the meaningful things in your life every single day have transitioned to an online platform and Power is the leading online renewable energy platform in the world, and renewable energy is, we know what it is, then what is there to be debated about? What does somebody want to argue about? And our revenue and our growth and our Inc. magazine and our record raising, world record crowd fundraising, and having a board of directors that's raised billions in venture capital. I don't know how you draw it up any better than this. I really don't. And I've done a few things. If you've got a drop of entrepreneurial blood in your body and you're listening to this or watching this today, 9-year track record, climbing on $500 million in revenue, pre-IPO, all the things we just discussed, and no one knows who we are yet. That's how you draw it up. Anybody can say anything. We've proven it. And yet the renewable energy industry hasn't started yet. And Power really hasn't started.
Really well said, man. I hear you share similar thoughts to that every Monday at one of our national calls. And I get goosebumps every time you say it. I joke to my team, I'm ready to join again. It's not debatable. I'm going to steal that one. It really is. If you have common sense, you can't debate it. I'll share this too. And then we can wrap up here in closing. I always evaluate opportunities based off three things. I'm not the smartest person, definitely not the smartest person on this call, but much less in most of my meetings. So I keep it stupid simple. The first one is leadership. If I'm going to join an opportunity, I'm going to take time away from my family, from other things that are producing income. Is the leadership right? That was one of the biggest questions I had when I heard Bobby speak. I had private Zooms and I finally just met him. I've met now our CEO and various other field leaders. I'm blown away. Blown away. Speed of the leadership group, speed of the pack. You guys all know the saying. These guys are women now with Cammy, are all visionaries. Where they're taking this thing, I can't even pretend to paint that picture because I'm just along for the ride, which has me excited. The second thing is the model. I've already compared it to EXP. It is so eerily similar to EXP. In fact, they made one change I won't go into today, which is better than EXP, and I'm going to get in trouble for that one. I already know the model. We've made a fortune with it. I've helped a lot of people make a fortune. The third one is timing. It's what Bobby just said, my friends. We're in that. In fact, this is the only time I disagree with our CEO, and I'll say it in front of the president, so I'm going to get in big trouble. He says we're at the top of the first inning. I disagree. I think we're still at batting practice. Like I really, less than 4% market share. If you're on the East Coast where Bobby and I are, I could argue it's between 2-3%. Like we're not even close to 4. And so you can hear it in my tonality and my voice, my posture. When you put leadership of this group, the mission and the vision behind what we're doing, the model and the 5 different ways we get paid, and you combine it with the T and timing, my friends, it is lights out. Bobby, in closing, what would you say to a solar professional who is not with us yet? Someone in our company sent them this podcast. They found it on YouTube, wherever, and they're interested. They're thinking about joining, but they're still questioning it. Hey, I'm doing okay at my current place. Should I join? Should I not? What does that look like?
That's an interesting question. There's the smart ass side of me that would say,
well, yeah, give me both.
What are you thinking about? Why would you work for a solar company when you can own your own, earn 2 to 3 times as much money, get deals, people sending you deals from all over the world? We have people in the Philippines that are closing 2-3 deals a day in flip-flops.
Crazy.
On the beach. So I would just say to the solar pro, that would be my smart alecky remark is, come on, what are you thinking about? What preconceived ideas are holding you back? What words were being whispered in your ear when you were a kid? What's holding you back? If you're a non-solar pro, look, yeah, real estate, come on. If you're a real estate agent, I have two sides to that. How can you be a real estate agent without being able to guide your clients in energy consumption? It's the biggest. There's people paying $1,000 a month now for gas and electric bills, right? The rates are doubling in markets around the country as we speak. You got your house, you got your car, you got your gas and electric bill, right? If mortgage brokers, and we know the economy is what it is in the tank, and we know these industries are really looking. We have a big event, Career Week, coming up, which is designed for solar pros and real estate mortgage professionals, yep, and then HVAC. And if you're calling on a homeowner and you're selling them something else, you're cutting their lawn, you're doing home security, whatever you're doing, it just makes sense. I just don't understand why a solar pro, I've never believed in the job mentality. You got one life, you got one shot. Why would you want to take orders from someone else? This is not the military. Why would you want to go that pathway? fear, anxiety? What is it that's holding you back? And we train a lot of that. No company does more of mindset training and breakthrough training and all those things. As our national convention opened up with breath work and ice baths and board breaking sessions. And we believe in that. The funniest thing for me, Aaron, you opened up with it. And it's funny. I never even thought about it till the last 6 months. I'm a guy that's built on the sun. I'm the beach behind me. I work at the pool. And here I am, ended up following the sun. It wasn't even my initial intention. I didn't get it. I didn't even put the two things together at the time. And now here I am. My next meetings scheduled are in Hawaii and Puerto Rico and South Florida, and which is where I'd want to be anyway. So if you open up to the universe, yeah, I went from Cancer Foundation to following the sun. If you open up your mind, and we've learned this from the California people and Jonathan, and have opened up my mind so much to the possibilities that the universe speaks, and you have to listen to it. You have to pay attention to science. But the first thing you have to do is be open-minded enough to understand that this is happening. The government is not going to try and take, the government's going to continue to try and take away our rights to clean energy. They killed it in Nevada and it came back. They just tried to kill it in California. They tried to sneak a bill into the House of Representatives in Florida. They are doing it right now in North Carolina. They will continue to try and take away your right to clean energy. They are going to continue to double your electric bills. None of this is going to change, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. Our politicians' pockets are lined with dirty energy money, and I'll scream it from the mountaintops, right? There are inevitable factors here, including the climate, including I grew up on the water. I had a boat for many years. I know you fish with your kids. Well, what about when the kids can't eat those fish? If you took those fish, Aaron, you're catching right now and did a test on them and mercury and everything else, you wouldn't eat them. You couldn't eat them. So where are we headed? What are we going to do about it? So these are undeniable factors. And when you just put them in a ball and roll them up, did I have any idea where we'd be today and that we'd be opening the beaches of the world? I had no idea. But I would just say to everybody out here, again, in closing, Aaron's closing, is just open up your mind to the possibilities that the universe will speak to you. Your children will speak to you. And I want, more than anything else, my children have always known and will always know that yes, is our lifestyle good? Yes, they live well, but their father and my wife have always stood for lifting up the world, doing something better. And when your kids can look you in the eye and say, Mom, Dad, I'm really proud of you. I know we need money. I know we got to pay bills, but what you're doing, you're standing for something. It means something, what you're doing. And both my kids are following pathways of meaningful careers that touch people's lives. And now my daughter just started talking about dinner the other night about maybe opening her own practice one day or whatever, wherever they're going to go. I appreciate that entrepreneurial mindset.
I love it. I love it. And you said this early on, and your version of it is something I've adopted, and it's proved successful to both of us. Never, ever make a decision without opening the door, peeking your head and seeing what's on the other side. And so I would leave that analogy with anyone who's watching this for the first time to come look at it. Come take a look. Hop on a Zoom with us. We're happy to show you. There's amazing content, but it's the real deal. Bobby, I can't thank you enough. Not only is it an honor to have the president of Power, a company that has 100% of my attention as we build, but like I said, you have become a dear friend. And the honor was all mine, my friend. I speak for all of the Solar Sales Uncensored community. This will go down as the record-breaking episode. I have zero doubt, and I can't wait to get it out into everyone's hands. If you don't mind, I know we didn't talk about this, I'm going to throw your LinkedIn profile on the description so that people can reach out if they wanted to. They can follow more behind the scenes on what you're doing every day to lead our amazing company. But I can't thank you enough, my friend.
Folks, there are so many talented people out there right now. They're just looking for a different path. They're tired of what they're doing. And we're heading into the holiday season. I don't know how dated this will become. We're heading into the holiday season when people become reflective this time of year. And what do they really want their lives to stand for? Who do they want to go to work with? I don't know, Aaron, sometimes I feel guilty. We talked about this. I don't feel like I'm working. Right now, we're not working, right? I get to wake up every... When's the last time? I would just say this to everybody watching in closing. When's the last time that you couldn't wait to get out of bed so you could do it all over again and work with people that you truly love, that you truly admire, that you truly respect, that lift you up and influence the way you think and what you eat and where you dress and the vitamins you take and the workouts you do. And that's how I feel. I just can't wait to wake up and do it again. And I only wish for everybody that they get to experience that at least once in their lives. You combine those two things. They say you'll never work a day in your life, right? If you love what you do. And the admiration of your children for what you do and how you carry yourself and the impact you have on other people in the world. Now, then you put a cherry on top of that one, buddy, and you've got one hell of a Sunday. That's the deal.
Let's freaking go. So with that, we're going to shut it down and get back to work. I hope everybody enjoyed the episode. Be good, be safe, and God bless. Bobby, thank you again from the bottom of my heart. Aloha. We'll talk soon, my friends.